Today, September 19th, 2019, Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona is celebrating its 50th anniversary of providing a hand up for any person who wants to achieve independence through jobs, education, and skills training. We have two pretty phenomenal individuals with us today to give us a glimpse of the reasons why Goodwill does what it does every single day. I'm Gina Murphy, darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. And I have to say, I'm very excited about this show today, and it's for personal and professional reasons. So here's the reveal. The personal reason is that my family and I are diehard, avid Goodwill shoppers. I have many pictures to prove that. I am really proud that my daughters and I, and my husband, who's not as much of a shopper, we are conscious consumers, and we feel very strongly about the environmental and social justice challenges caused by the fashion industry, the fast fashion industry. And I used to call it the filthy fashion industry, but I've cleaned up my act, obviously. So instead of going and spending an afternoon at the mall, my daughters and I really and truly have a blast spending a few hours in Goodwill hunting for great buys, and we always find them. My daughter, who is in the audience studio with us today, is a magnet for really good finds, so she's pretty much our personal shopper. And the icing on the cake is that because of Mrs. Green's partnership with Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona, we know that our money, when we're shopping and having fun, goes to support programs that make big difference in our community. So it's kind of, for me, guilt-free shopping, and I love that. Our two in-studio guests today are going to talk about just one of those programs among the six that they have from very different perspectives, that of staff and that of a program participant. I'd like to welcome Athiana Lerma and Casey Valenzuela from Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. The participant is Athiana. She participated in Good Futures, one of Goodwill's six youth programs over 4 years ago, and we are going to hear about her pretty amazing journey. And Cassie is the Senior Reentry Program Coordinator for Goodwill, and she's worked with the Good Futures program for a total of 4 years, supporting adults like Athiana. Their range for that program is 18 to 24, and now most recently, which sounds like another podcast, kiddo, working with formerly incarcerated adults that are 25 and over. Another big heart song for the Murphy Darling family and for my mission. So thanks both of you for being here. So, Athiana, trust me when I say people love stories. I mean, it is the new medium. People love stories. They do. And they like, now storytelling is a word. It's a thing. And yours is a great one. It's a powerful one. And I'm glad that we're going to get to share it. And one of the reasons is there's so much bad news out there. Just turn on the TV for 5 minutes, right? Yours is a good news story. It's a positive story and one so worth telling. So let's tell your stories. How did you get connected to Goodwill's future in the first place?
So I got connected with the Good Futures program through my high school counselor. She was great, and she just really wanted to help me succeed, even though I wasn't really ready or open to that. And she presented the information to me, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not interested. Like, I don't even fit the category for that. But I was lying. Like, I was arrested as a minor. I just didn't want her to know that. I don't know why. And she was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, definitely saw through, the wall that I had put up. And she was bugging me for a while, and eventually I just... I think Jason called me, and I was like, oh my God, like, these people are ruthless.
And they have my number.
Yeah. And that's how it all started.
So I'd love to know, you said what was happening, you were getting in trouble, and then this program came along. Before you got in the program, did you have a vision for what your life was going to look like? Did you have hope? Did you have dreams? What were you thinking about? What's your life going to look like?
I didn't necessarily have any hopes or dreams, as sad as that sounds. I just grew up in a pretty dysfunctional household, dysfunctional family, you know, all that. And I just, you know, chaos and a chaotic and I don't know the word, the appropriate word, just chaos and a disorganized life seemed like normal. It was the only normal. Yeah, it's all I'd ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what you knew. So what happened? Because obviously traditional high school wasn't working for you, which is such the case with so many adults. Are we going to ever get the message, change up the paradigm of what traditional high school looks like? Because it doesn't work for a lot of kids. So what didn't work, or more importantly, what was different about the Good Futures program? Because obviously, eventually it stuck and something worked.
Yeah. What didn't work for traditional high school for me was I am not a people person whatsoever. I went to a big high school, you know, 4,000 or so kids. Couldn't stand any of them. Had like a few friends, but, you know, once I left high school, nobody really talked to me. So it's like, kind of goes to show like the kind of friends that I had. But traditional high school is just too in the box for me. I'm very much like to do my own thing. And if I feel like I'm not able to do my own thing, I start to like flip out and like be unnecessarily rebellious. And that's what I did. Traditional high school was just too structured for me.
Just an editorial comment. Everything in the world has changed since I went to high school. But guess what hasn't changed?
High school.
Exactly. It blows me away. You can't teach kids the same way you did 50 years ago where the teacher said, sit down and shut up. And guess what you did? You sat down and shut up.
Yeah.
That is not what happened.
Yeah.
What happens, and it's not fast-paced enough. It's not innovative enough. It's not creative enough. And it's failing. So
yeah.
That, you know, yours is a success story because you found something else.
Yeah. I did well in school academically. It's just I have always struggled socially with people.
Yeah.
And, you know, being forced to be in the confined grounds with thousands of people every day is depressing.
Yeah. You do crack me up, I have to say that, and I love
Thanks.
It. Thanks for your honesty. It makes me very, very, it's so refreshing because high school sucks for lots of kids.
Yeah,
really,
absolutely.
Really sucks.
Absolutely.
So when you got into the Good Futures program, when they wouldn't let up on you and they wouldn't give up on you, was it like all kumbaya and you loved it? Did you walk in getting ready to just have a ball? Or were you like that same person that came from high school?
I was definitely the same damaged person, you know, coming out of high school. I had been through a lot of stuff with, which is what led me to dropping out of high school. I tried to drop out on my 18th birthday. I was so excited. I hadn't gone to school in a couple months. And on my 18th birthday, I walked in and I was like, I would like to unenroll myself. And they were like, oh my God, okay. So that was the last that I saw of traditional school. And when I got into the Good Futures program, I was only 2 months away from graduating and I had like a couple half credits to finish. And I was like, whatever, I'm just going to get my GED. Like I could not stand school. Like the last 12 years of my life being in school were just so like traumatic that I just hated education. And Jason from Good Futures was like, no, you're not. Like, you're going to get your diploma. You're going to finish high school. You're literally right there. And I was like, no, you're not going to make me do anything I don't want to do. And he was like, yes, you are. So basically like filled out and did everything for me and was like, here's your classes, do them. And it felt like I definitely do not like to be told what to do, but it felt different. It felt like I wasn't one in a few thousand being told what to do. It felt like this person like genuinely cared about me being successful. And that was the first time, like one of the first times in my life that I had ever felt like another adult felt like they just genuinely wanted me to be successful with no like personal gain from it.
And when I tell you that I know it was a powerful story, I meant it because I do my research and I probably thought something very professionally like, holy crapoli, look at this person that is alive and breathing and it made a difference for the rest of your life because they didn't give up on you.
Yeah.
And there's so much
Absolutely.
Research about that in terms of, you know, developmental assets. Someone cared. And you knew it. And you can separate the fakes from the real ones. You can. And this guy cared. Did I ever meet Jason? I want to know. I want to meet Jason. You know who else I want to meet? Is that guidance counselor who said, you're the person that's going to go and you got to do this. And she saw you. She saw you and she believed in you. My daughter had a teacher like that in third grade where I thought she was going to get like bumped out because she was very active was the word. She used to call us in third grade from the school phone in the hallway. And this person, it's my youngest who now has this, you know, she's happy and well-adjusted. One teacher saved her life, and I kid you not, because it would have been really bad for us to have her expelled in third grade. But one teacher took her and said, she's not a bad girl. She is so full of energy and active, and she just took a little bit extra time. So that's a game changer for you. So it was Jason. And was the curriculum of interest? Did you like the vibe? What happened that you can just talk to people about good futures? Because there's going to be people listening that are going to say, that's for my kid or that's for me.
Yeah. I think, you know, the staff was really, really important for me to feel comfortable and continuing to go back every day and doing the what I thought was the ridiculous stuff that they were asking us to do, like build bikes or whatever. Least favorite day of the week. But I think the staff was huge, like having staff that cares so much. Like Jason was always like the one to like push me in school. And, you know, Russ and Danya and Eric and Cassie were just like, you know, they were really like emotionally invested in all of our success. And like, you know, we could tell like by how much we would stress them out that like they actually cared about like our real life problems.
You didn't make it easy every day.
No, we didn't. We were probably the worst kids there, hands down. We were terrible. But I mean, like they still cared about us, you know, they still wanted us to be successful. And I think that being able to trust an adult at first was the only way that I was going to ever be receptive to like listening to the advice that they would have and like the suggestions that they were able to give me. Because if I wasn't able to trust them, I would have, like, never been able to hear them.
Right. And you wouldn't have gone back.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't have gone back. There was something they were doing that you felt it and you say, okay, I'm going to keep going. So fast forward. That was 2014. It's almost 2020, believe it or not. I'm saying that a lot because it's a big birthday year for me, 2020, and I want to keep telling everybody. But what are you doing now? What did that translate to in terms of your life's journey?
So, yeah, that was 5 years ago. I was 18. I'm 23 now. Still, you know, don't know much about life. But like that program definitely gave me just the skills and the confidence to be able to, like, apply for a job or have a job or just, you know, be a contributing member of society. I think that was, like, that's been huge. Like, I've had the same job for the last 5 years, excuse me. I started working there the fall of the year that I had finished the Good Futures program, and I've been there ever since. I'm a direct care worker. I work with a young man who has Down syndrome.
You're kidding.
Yeah, he's the best. He is so freaking cool. And basically what we do is, like, I just, like, I'm his one, like, I'm his provider. It's just me and him all day. But what we do is like just try to get him involved in the community. Like he has a job, he volunteers at the library, he has activities that he likes to do, you know, bowling, Zumba, we go to the gym, you know, just helping him like have a successful life too.
Talk about paying it forward. You got it. And now you're doing it for somebody else. And Down syndrome, from what I know, I have one friend who has a Down syndrome son who lives in Phoenix, so there's not a lot of interaction, but they are so loving and so joyful and so amazing and can, of course, do so much more than people used to think.
Yeah.
They used to be institutionalized.
Yeah.
And now I see them like Safeway. I see them places, and it's like, it's so wonderful, and they're so kind and friendly, and it feels really good. It's like the flashback. Did you see yourself doing this when you first started? That's 5 years ago. I mean, that's...
No, absolutely not. I never really pictured myself as someone to work with people just because I'm so antisocial.
Because you don't like them.
Because I really don't like people. But, you know, he's different. Like, I had considered not working for this company anymore and pursuing something else. But, you know, he came into my life and I can't picture my life without him.
How powerful is that? Like, seriously, I'm blown away. So, like I said, We have thousands of listeners, and we're working hard to attract a younger audience because these programs are so relevant to young people. Now you, 5 years later, get to say some words of wisdom to them. Are there things that you would say to a parent who's listening out there or someone that's in the same situation? Today at my Rotary Club, the president of the club asked for our support because of the trouble he's having with his son. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. And so what would you say? Is there something you picked up from it? I don't know. You don't have to be on the spot. Don't give up or don't be a quitter. What would you say to people that are listening who might have someone in your situation or who can learn from what you've been through?
I would say, you know, I personally don't have any experience being, you know, a parent with a kid like me. But as a kid like me, I can say, like, you know, it is daunting, and it is, you know, it seems like something that you'll never be able to overcome, but, you know, you can. And, you know, if you don't feel like you can be honest with your parents or your family, like, find the person that you can be honest with, because, like, living so dishonestly and all that, like, it will kill you. It is a very lonely life, you know.
Yeah, and it's not a really pretty picture to look into the future of that, what that looks like. And yeah. We know that. It's really unbelievable. I'm like proud to be sitting here with you. I'm not kidding, because I didn't have any of those obstacles, and it was still hard enough with high school, and I actually had a pretty good high school. But it's in those situations. I had a horrible situation a little bit older in life, and to not have support and to go through those personal challenges, you just keep on showing up every day and say certain things that I'm going to beat this. So Cassie, you're sitting there quietly smiling, about to bring yet another child into the world. Yes. Yay you. Nobody can see that, but you're close, kiddo, and that makes me excited. So you have the flip side of the coin, and I want you to first explain what Good Futures Program is about. Go into a little bit more detail about that, because I just jumped right into it because I wanted to talk to Adriana first.
Okay. So Good Futures is a program that serves 18 to 24-year-olds. Normally, we're funded by the Department of Labor, but at this time, we're actually self-funded through the revenue from the Good Futures store.
From so, my like, shopping?
Your shopping, yes, and other people's shopping, because we see the value in what the program does for young folks. So we normally serve youth who have been adjudicated in some way, shape, or form through the juvenile justice system. And adjudicated is the word that the juvenile justice system use. They don't use the word sentenced. So they've been
don't
arrested.
Don't you love the euphemisms we come up with? Yeah.
So they've been referred to juvenile justice. Again, not arrested, referred. In some way, shape, or form, anything from a light touch runaway to been in detention and need to come up with a transfer plan, basically, how they're going to transfer back into
some kind of transition
back. Yeah, transition. Yeah. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. So our goals in the program are to not have the 18 to 24-year-olds have any adult charge. That's one of the goals, is we don't ever want them to take what they've done as juveniles and do something as an adult, because that's a whole different ballgame.
Whole different future.
Yes. So our goal is, that's our number one goal. And then we do want them to either get back into education or into employment, whatever that looks like. So do you need to get your high school diploma or GED? Do you already have that? And is there a training that we can connect you with? Can we connect you with Pima? Is college something you're thinking about? Which, unfortunately, a lot of our young people don't even really understand that they can go to college. They're not less worthy than anybody else. The college belongs to them as well. So education and then employment. So how can we set you up so that you're ready to not only get a job, but maintain that job? Like Adriana, keep it for 5 years.
Skills,
keep it for a year.
Real skill building.
Yes. And so the program that Adriana was in was our first grant. And so it looks differently than what we're doing now. She was talking about, like, every day we had different things for them to do. And so they were with us for 32 and a half hours a week. We no longer do that because it was a burden on them as well as us. We learned.
Because that felt just like high school.
Yeah. So we took their feedback actually for that, from that grant. They all did surveys and told us what they liked and didn't like. And then we adjusted the program so that it better fits the needs of the young people that we serve. So now they still have to spend time with us. They don't get to not spend time with us. But we do work placements. So we have partners in the community, business partners in the community that will allow our youth to work up to 20 hours a week for like 6 weeks. Goodwill pays their wage and takes over liability, but they get hands-on experience in a job, and then we can transfer that to a resume, things that maybe they wouldn't have had before. And a lot of times we try to connect them with the career that they tell us they want to do. So if you come to us and you tell us, I want to go into nursing, or then we have partnerships at residential homes and places like that where they can shadow a CNA, and then we'll connect them with the CNA program through the One Stop. The One Stop pays for it, and they can start a career. That's just one example. So that's kind
but that's,
of
but that's a great example.
Program.
And, you know, we gloss over and say these phrases that come out, and I'm really just such a good listener. It's one of my strengths. And you said things like, well, they gave us surveys, they answered the questions, and we listened.
Yeah.
Underline, underscore, exclamation point. Because what if you didn't? Why? What trust would they have?
Right.
And that's amazing to me, and I didn't know that. And then the other part is, you know, I don't really want to get all filled up, but I can feel it coming up, and it just happens for me. And Matthew's laughing in the audience here with me, a good friend. Thanks, Matt, for your support. But what happened for me when I got involved in a mentoring program at C.E. Rose Elementary School, and I was in social services working with at-risk children and families, but when you get a kid that you're their mentor and they're your mentee, mm-hmm. So I'm in touch with many of them. They're now 30, so I have hangers-on disease, right? I could never let them go. I didn't realize some of the stuff you said. I'd ask them, well, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And they would look at me like a blank stare, many of them, because lots of their brothers and sisters didn't grow up. They got shot or they were in prison, so they didn't have dreams. We took these kids to the U of A campus with their parents. A lot of the parents didn't think they were allowed on the U of A campus. So my world got blown up because working with someone that you care about, and, you know, I call her my little girl. We took her out to lunch a couple of weeks ago. She's very close to our family. She's 30. She should have been pregnant in jail and using drugs based on the way that she was raised. Mm-hmm. And I've said that to her. She is now a manager at B of A, and it was really because of a mentoring program. I was put in her life, and I was never going to let her go. Fill out a college application? Never happened. You got to be kidding me. A lot of them, their mothers are wonderful. They don't speak English. They can't help with a college application. So it's a world that I like to highlight,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that have no idea that there aren't dreams, there aren't hopes, there aren't opportunities, and people that can help you get in those jobs, the networking part of it. So
Right. That's
my little rant for this.
Yeah. Like,
this show is not about me, I know, but I wanted to share that. But let's talk about that, the passion for working with young adults. And everybody doesn't have it, let's be honest. Some people don't
difficult.
Want anything to, yeah, no kidding. It's like, you're choosing to be with a young adult? Okay, so what's wrong with you? But what's right with you? Why do you have such a passion for it?
I was our youth.
You was that?
I was that.
I was
our youth. I qualified for our program. I was a Good Futures youth.
What a great story. Jeez, Louise.
I had a counselor, just like Athiana, who I'm still in touch with now. And I remind her as often as I can that she is the reason that I am where I am. And she always turns it back on me, like we do with our youth. You did the work.
Oh, yeah,
all
you
I did
it,
was
but
open
no,
doors.
They made the difference.
Yeah. So I totally qualified for our program. And I actually got into the U of A because of this counselor. She would pull me from class. She made me apply for scholarships. I would complain the whole time because, like, I'm never going to get there. And I got there. I didn't pay for a single dime at the U of A because of her. I got every scholarship that she helped me apply for. And then she stayed on me even after I wasn't in high school anymore. She stayed on me to make sure that my UVA grades were so that the scholarships would renew. Anyway, long story short, I studied psychology because I wanted to know why my family was the way they were. Like, the, you should never pick a topic at college because you're trying to figure out your family. I'm just saying. It worked out in my case, but you should really do what you want to do.
Right.
And so I got into behavioral, you know, I graduated and then got into behavioral health and was like, oh, I don't know. This isn't really what I thought it was going to be. You know, working at behavioral health agencies are not this, it's not the same as what Goodwill does.
Totally.
Because we create relationships.
Hands on.
Yes. And unfortunately, our behavioral health system's broken and we don't get to do that. We get caseloads of 200 people, you know, and stuff. So fast forward a few years, I was on the young adult team at Kodak. That was a wonderful experience and it opened my eyes to, I was Atiana's age. I was 23, 24. Working with 18 to 24s. Yeah. But with the young adult team, I was working with 18 to 24-year-olds. So I would have clients that were my age. And they were like, wait, I can be on the other side of this table. And that's kind of where it started for me, was because of my counselor, I was able to get somewhere at a young age. And so youth related to me, young adults related to me. They don't so much anymore because I'm just getting older and they're staying the same age.
No, now you're a role model that's going to help the other kids. No, it changes.
So then I found the Good Futures program and loved the idea of it. Loved the let's get people prepared for life part of it, because so many times you turn 18 and if you come from some of these families, they're just, you're 18. You're an adult. You should know, you know? And they don't really allow you to ask questions. And there's not much guidance because they didn't have the guidance. So the guidance they give you is not, you know? So I loved the idea of helping young people find tools and find resources and to have adults to come back to that we're open to. You can ask us questions. We don't expect you to know everything. You know, and we're not going to shut the door when you don't listen to the advice we get and you come back and you're like, hey, so you were right. That didn't work. like Atiana with the car that she purchased when we told her not to.
The lemon
you purchased.
Now there's Inside Edition. Oh, I love it.
You know, but it's that learning process and it's that trust that she was talking about. We don't just shut doors. And, you know, a lot of the times our young people aren't ready for the program. And some of them don't stick around long enough to become ready, you know. But we always say, once you come in the door, once you're a part of the Goodwill family, you're a part of it forever.
And you can come back.
And you can come back. So having Atiana and some of our other youth come back later and tell us about how great their lives are and what they're doing and their successes, that's, you know, for every 10 that just were what made me want to pull my hair out and made me want to, come on, I'll go with you, just do it, you know. Having the one come back and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. And I was in the neighborhood and I just wanted to come see you guys. Like, there's no words for how great that feels.
And that was kind of my next question. Like, when you see that, how does it make you feel? And you answered it. And I think that when, like, the kids that I hang around with, we just went to a big 30th birthday party a couple of weeks ago, Katie and I, for one of the kids that we mentored. And he's really... He's amazing. We had a blast. We danced the night away and it was great. And people say, oh, you know, that's so wonderful that you're a mentor. And I look at them and I say, you have no idea the rewards that come back to you. Like, yeah. You feel guilty when somebody says, oh, it was so good that you did that. It's like, no, they are such a part of my life and they just give back in ways that I never dreamed of. The rewards are so powerful and some of the most important experiences of my life came from those kids.
You have to be willing to learn from them. So that's what I always tell them is I learned so much from them, you know, based off of just kind of their stories and where they're coming from. And I just kind of always remind myself that as much as I'm trying to teach them, they're teaching me as well. So.
And it's just amazing to me when you get to see it in your job. You get to see the transformation. And then Atiana comes back and sits here and talks about what it was like. It makes me want to do a series of shows on finding those counselors that showed up and made a difference. And Lori Burns is the name of the person that made a difference in Emily's life. Mm-hmm. We invited her to her graduation from Tucson High. She commented when Emily had a baby. It's forever thing. And it was rough at Tucson High. It was really rough. And she had red hair and freckles. So how do you think that was working? Thank God she was in like the drama program. So it was kind of like a little shell that helped. But it was a big, challenging high school. It was really big.
Absolutely.
Let's end up on a note other than my absolute shameless commercial for shopping at Goodwill. I want to start naming some of the brands we found, but I won't, because you find good finds at Goodwill. And I do want to say, I told Judy before we started, who's been our contact there, my daughter Emily from Taos came and they don't have one there. So we made the mistake, I'm just going to say this on the air and I hope I don't get in trouble, of going to the Goodwill at Bear Canyon and Tanque Verde on 50% off Saturday. And we toughed it out. I was 40th online. I mean, that place, James said, don't go on the 50% off day. Are you nuts? Well, we were nuts. And it was packed. And we had a blast. It was like a big party. Everybody was nice. Nobody was mean. Nobody was cutting off. But I counted. I said, Em, I think the line goes to the back of the store. It went around the back of the store. And boy, did we find stuff, like really good stuff. And we felt great. So what other things can people do that are listening that get inspired other than donate your goods and shop for some other people's goods? What other ways are there to support the Goodwill mission?
You can always donate.
You can donate money.
You can pick specific groups.
But isn't the biggest thing to give back
Donations? We need employers. We need people who are willing to take our youth in, or now with our adults that are coming in for second chance, we need employers. We need people who are willing to, volunteer their time as far as like tutoring for GED stuff. We have the Metro program downtown. They're always needing people who are willing to help with math and, sit with our youth and help with those kinds of things. And we need people to know that we're more than just a thrift store. And so if you know if you know someone who is, a friend or a neighbor or whatever who could use one of our programs, reach out to somebody, walk into a store and ask a store associate, hey, can I get a flyer about your programs or whatever? Because so many people, even with everything that we do, so many people still don't know that Goodwill has all of these additional programs.
I did not know.
Yeah.
And I've been a Goodwill shopper since way before Mrs. Green. My mother taught us to shop in thrift shops before it was cool. And so I always know, and my girls learn quality. And one of the things that I'm reflecting on as you sit here, when there is a you, then you change it for generations. And so do you, Athiana. You will be different and breaking cycles. That's what I found with these kids, because then their little sisters and brothers, some of them were interested in going to college or getting in a program. And it's a ripple effect. And now you have your own children.
Yes.
So that hopefully they're not going to go study psychology to figure out they're a crazy nut family.
I would hope so.
my feeling is that all families are like, welcome to my crazy nut family. If someone says they have a normal family, probably not going to be hanging around with them a lot.
Because
normal is not really my comfort zone. It's like, we like kind of dysfunctional, and that's half the fun. So I want to thank you both for taking the time. I hope you had as much fun as I did. It was a really emotional show for me, impactful and fun. And I think it's really important to remember fun. It's amazing to me to see the Goodwill in action. So here are my last words. And I love to have the last word. See, that's one of my things, Athiana. I love to have the last word.
Oh, me too.
So she might have to. Come on. If you think of something after I finish, feel free. I'm inviting you. As I said at the start of the show, in 2019, Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Since 1969, Goodwill has provided a hand-up program for any person who wants to achieve independence through jobs, education, and skills training. This means helping individuals realize their potential and see and achieve their steps in career pathways that they set while providing supporting those people along the way, which was so obvious in this show. My takeaway was they just don't give up. They just don't give up. So in the past 5 years, Goodwill has served over 50,000 individuals. And every single person that Goodwill has served are the reasons why I have so much passion for their mission and for the difference they make in the place where I live and work. They continue to make a difference where I live and where I work. We're proud of our partnership with them. And my call to action is to find a Goodwill near you. Bring some really cool things to donate, which I might buy, and then have a blast shopping and looking for good finds. And if you're really excited about what you find, we would love for some of our listeners to share with us. We'll post it on the Mrs. Green's World social media platforms because we here at Mrs. Green's World all believe in shopping resale, not retail. So thanks again to both of you, and I hope this show goes viral. That's how good I thought it was. Do you have a last word, Athiana? Because that'd be so cool. No?
I don't know.
I stumped her. I stumped her. Does everybody get that? I caught her off guard. Okay, so thanks to you both. It was really a very special experience for me. Thanks for all you do, and thanks for talking to us about that Down syndrome young person who is showing up in your life every day, and good luck with the baby, kiddo.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.